Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm exhausted. I'm stressed to the limit. I'm bone tired. I feel drained and I'm running on my last fumes. I'm on the edge of burnout. Have you ever heard yourself or someone else say those words? With Sotsanga this week, right up until now, being exhausted and bone tired is a given. Feeling drained, stressed, and running on them fumes is actually expected. At one time or another, most of us have been there. We live in a fast-paced world where we're often overachievers, hurrying, rushing, working too hard until our energies are depleted and our well-being is in tatters. And then we come to church. Welcome. Welcome to this church, to the next half hour where you get to catch up on sleep, and to the place where only the tired, weary, and sleepy come to finally have some rest. In our text for today, Jesus gives a clear invitation and a promise. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This week we celebrate 38 years of Sotsanga, from what was a bringing together of Samoan students from the University of Auckland and Victoria University of Wellington, has now grown to include the University of Canterbury, the University of Waikato, and Auckland University of Technology. The privilege passed down by hand for nearly four decades has been a traditional Samoan perspective to toil, to sweat, to work effortlessly until such time where we can breathe freely. That perspective echoes in Jesus' invitation today. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. We may come to church for many different reasons. Maybe you have come today because your mum or dad have told you that you should be here. Maybe you're here to enjoy our great organ, or the singing, or the grandeur of this church. But we also know that too many of us come here today and always stressed, worried, troubled, and tired. I once asked a wise friend, what can we do when we face trouble after trouble and we're feeling overwhelmed? Her response was, breathe. We all need to exhale the anxieties, worries, and stress of our life and wait for Jesus' promise to work its way into ourselves, to inhale its way into our insides. It's a kind of photosynthesis for the soul. We can exhale the carbons, the toxins, and inhale the spiritual oxygen. Jesus understood this need. He knew the importance of rest, the time to replenish the soul. People were often crowding around him, and they wanted what he offered: healing, forgiveness, courage, hope, life. Reynolds Price, beloved teacher at Duke University, once was reflecting on Jesus' life, and he said, the amazing thing about Jesus was his compassion. He never turned anyone away. But after days of teaching and healing, when he felt his energy waning, Jesus would steal away to a very lonely place to pray, to rest. In the text today, Jesus is giving us an invitation from his own practice. Come to me, and I will give you rest. We've heard the text. Now let's do what it says. Let's take some time in silence, some time to rest, and allow Jesus' word to sink into our insides. I invite you to get comfortable, to close your eyes, and let's take a few moments to rest together as we meditate on Jesus' words. Exhale the stress, inhale the goodness, come to me, and I will give you rest. Hey, hey. Hey, hey. What happens in silence? If we can quiet our chattering monkey mind and be still, gifts are given that we cannot give ourselves. Jesus gives us some hints about the gifts. If you listen again, he says, "Come to me and rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." With a little theological imagination, I want to suggest that there are at least four gifts wrapped up in Jesus' invitation and promise. Gifts that come in the silence when our hearts are open. The first gift is the gift of Sabbath time. Jesus was a Jew. He knows about Sabbath time. Sabbath provides the spacious context for Jesus' invitation. He's echoing one of the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Sabbath is a gift, a day of rest. This rest is more than just sleep. It's rejuvenation, restoration, reconnection to our life force, to full aliveness. In the creation story, God worked 6 days, and then God rested on the seventh. If it was good enough for God, it should be good enough for us. Our greatest Jewish tradition has perpetuated the Sabbath as a sanctuary in time, as Rabbi Abraham Hirschel calls it, a day of delight, a day to savor the world, being rather than doing. Being restful means living in the present moment, not regretting the past or feeling anxious about the future. Sabbath rest, if we practice it, infuses us with attention to the present moment. As Mary Oliver states, "I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention. Therefore, attend to the present moment. It's where God shows up, God's energy, God's peace." The second gift Jesus offers is release, the opportunity to let go of stresses and pressures, release the inner obstacles that block us. Since its release, the Disney movie Frozen has been a hit, especially with kids singing let it go, over and over again. One can only imagine what it was like in the context of the film, but to hear children singing it without any thought of a deeper meaning, truly a little child can lead us. Whatever dilemmas, problems, or anxieties that are clogging our insides, we just need to remember, let it go. In the silence, this time of rest, I've sometimes imagined putting our anxieties on a little imaginary boat and letting them float off. Yes, the boat will come back, but keep putting the anxiety or worry on the boat and let it go. For fullness of life to develop, emptiness is essential. Let it go. Our third gift in Jesus' invitation is the gift of the inner wellspring, living water. When we can let it go, we're removing the debris from the wellspring. This inner wellspring that wants to flow freely to give us fullness of life. That wellness or that wellspring flows with goodness. It's the source of our aliveness. If we do our part in releasing the stresses, then calm energy, aliveness can emerge, and it will even gush. Referring to Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well, Jesus says to her, "I will give you living water that gushes up to eternal life." He doesn't mean life in the hereafter. He means life, capital L, in the here now, gushing up in the now. Ira Prograf wrote a little book called The Well and the Cathedral. He tells a story about people who long ago discovered a well, and they came year after year to the well to drink the refreshing water. They felt healed, made whole by the water. Then someone said, "Let's build a building over the well." So they built a building. Years passed and others said, "Let's build a cathedral here as well." And they built it. As the years passed, this institutional church got bigger and bigger, and the people forgot about the well, the wellspring underneath. Our final gift before you go into eternal sleep. When we go to the wellspring, the inner wellspring, and take it in, we may receive the final gift, the gift of energy for our work in the world. If I don't find my way back to the wellspring, I will not have the energy and the inner resources to do my work in the world. Christ is our role model. He was both a mystic and a social reformer. He was a contemplative and an activist. He was often going off to pray, to reconnect to the wellspring. Then he would head back into his ministry of compassion, justice, equality, nonviolence. "My burden," he said, "is light." Call it energy for goodness, for justice. This pattern is a model for all of us. We all have our personal leadings, our callings for specific work that continues the mission of Christ. For many of us, that calling is to find ways to help reduce the dreadful poverty that surrounds us. 155,000 New Zealand kids live in households that go without 7 or more things that they need. 8% of Kiwi kids are both in low-income households and in material hardship. 28% of Kiwi kids live in households with low incomes. And that was based on last year's research. And we have to change it. We've got to change it. But it's long-haul work. And we can't do it without daily attention to our inner life, getting back to that wellspring. Jesus is still teaching us this wisdom, handing us the gifts: Sabbath, release, wellspring, and energy for mission. All for the purpose of abundant life for us and those we serve. "Come to me," Jesus says, "to my way, my practice, and I will give you rest." This is better than sleep. It's rest for the soul. He echoes Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. God leads me beside still waters. God restores my soul," restores my deepest self. And when we get to the place of genuine rest, we reconnect with that inner wellspring, the source of life, abundant life. Let's call it aliveness that gushes. "Come to me, find life-giving rest," Christ says. Amen.